Welcome back to episode 38 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF Are You Thinking? Is it episode 38?
It's hard to tell. Is it 38? Is it 39? Do we count the James Bond episode?
This is 39.
Okay. Yeah, 30. I didn't know if we were going to be like Quentin Tarantino and do like official things and then confuse like the listing.
No, we'll do it whatever episode we put out. Yeah, this is 39. I apologize. I shouldn't have ever committed to saying what the episode number, but I've come this far now. 39. We don't have any news to bring you.
38 and a half. This show.
38 and a half. We'll call it that. We don't have any news to bring you at the start of this podcast. Nothing really happened this week in terms of movies. Really? A couple of trailers maybe got released?
I don't watch them, as you know.
I try to avoid trailers as well. I'm not a massive fan. I think it just ruins movies. Yeah, nothing really big to talk about. So we're going to get straight in to... There's something at the end of this show that we're going to do that Peter has no idea about. But you no. will, because it will be in the description of this one. So... Enjoy
so,
him.
So only the surprise is for me, is basically what he said. You know, I'm in the dark and nobody else is.
It's my episode. Next week's okay. Your episode. We go from there. But this episode, I decided to pick out a movie which I've never seen. And it's a movie that has got some great reviews. Rotten Tomatoes love it. All the critics love it. The author of the book loves it. The daughter of the author of the book loves it. Everyone loves this movie. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to drag Peter along with me. He's already seen it anyway, but for a second time he gets to watch it. It is it's Paddington, the live action animation that came out in 2014, directed by Paul King and screenplay by Paul King. I think he said it took him 5 years to make this movie, and he was kind of obsessed over it for a while, wasn't he?
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's a beloved book. It's not one that I ever really known. I shamingly have to admit, I don't know a lot about Paddington. So this is all fresh for me. Maybe it was before our era, really. I think it was the 70s, maybe.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, the people who were in the movie, like Nicole Kidman and Hugh Bonneville, like those sort of people of that age grew up with Paddington, didn't they? I mean, the way they spoke about the movie, going into the movie, that they were pretty passionate and they didn't want to be a part of a project that would ruin the name Paddington. But, you know, it didn't, obviously. It didn't. And I was delightfully impressed with this movie. I have to say, this is a feel-good movie if there ever was a feel-good movie.
Yeah, you have to be a cold-hearted cynic not to like this movie.
Yeah, even the voice of... I always find when it comes to, like, especially like famous characters who have never been voiced on like a live-action setting, even that I'm always like, oh, I don't know if the voice is going to put me off. But Ben Whishaw, or how do you pronounce his surname? Is it Whishaw? Whishaw?
I thought it was Winshaw.
Winshaw. Anyway, he obviously plays Q.
It wouldn't be Winshaw, would it? It's S, there's no N in it. Yeah, it must be Whishaw.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. He plays Q in James Bond, so you recognise the voice. And he does a fantastic job. And interestingly enough, Colin Firth actually did the voice of Paddington Bear. They shot it all with Colin Firth, and then they had to reshoot it with Ben. And then obviously... Because the animation, I think they did the face expressions of Colin Firth while he was voicing the character to match Paddington Bear, so they had to redo all of that animation as well, which is a big change, isn't it? It's a lot of effort to go to get the voice right. So fair play to them for making such a massive call.
The right call as well, because
yeah, probably yeah.
He's the way he's portrayed is a bit of a young, naive bear. So Ben Whishaw's voice works well, whereas Colin Firth is more of an, how to put it correctly, an aging actor, shall we say. So yeah. He's got more of an experienced voice that might seem a bit weird for a young bear to have.
Yeah, it definitely matched, didn't it? I think everything about this just kind of worked with the character's kind of clumsiness. Like Paddington Bear's just kind of getting grips with the human lifestyle that is the Brown family, and obviously gets up to a lot of mischief. But I think this movie is like one of those family movies that you can enjoy as an adult, which is a rare thing, isn't it? A lot of them miss the mark a little bit and kind of just cater to kids. But when you cater to both audiences, that's when you really nail down a family movie.
I agree. It's very wacky as well. That's the one thing I forgot about this movie is it's... I'm trying to think of the right word. It doesn't hold its attention very well. It will go into side stories. It will go into flashbacks. It sometimes has a very straight narrative, and then sometimes it will have a more artistic narrative, which I think is where it gets the Wes Anderson vibes. Obviously, Paul King was originally a director who was on Mighty Boosh. You can kind of see a little bit of that there in this.
I found that incredible because I didn't realize that until after that he was on the Mighty Boosh. He did Come Fly With Me. So it's like things like that are very, very different to doing the family movie. And then obviously he's directing and writing Wonka that comes out with Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka. That's gonna be a massive movie. So he's jumped from, and I didn't know that his filmography list is very small. Paddington was the biggest movie he did at this time, wasn't it? And then Paddington 2, and then he's onto Wonka. So this is a director to watch, isn't it? If anything,
in this realm of sort of fantasy, family fantasy, whether he can, I don't want to dismiss family fantasy as not worthy of praise because it is, and when you can do it, I think family movies are very hard to do. In fact, as you just listed, a family movie means to cater for everybody, not just for the kids, but for the whole family. And I think this movie does it very well. I think if you're a fan of Paddington, if you grew up watching Paddington, it's kind of a bit of nostalgia to, from what I can tell, obviously, I don't know. The only thing coming into Paddington I knew was that he has a raincoat, he has a hat, and he likes marmalade.
Yeah.
And he was from Peru. That's all I knew.
That's all I knew as well. That's really all I knew. And he was a bit of a klutz. I knew that as well. But yeah, it kind of nails it down. It's just, I really like a movie as well. There's something about, I don't know if you feel the same way, but there's something about a movie set in London over like, during like a winter period where when you capture the essence of London, there's something really quite nice about that in the movie. I don't know whether that's just because I obviously live in London, but it's to see it on the big screen and see it in that way, it's kind of, there's a feel good factor in that sense, isn't there? And it kind of ends on Christmas as well, gets all snowy, and yeah, it just felt, no, it was good vibes. I felt very happy after I finished watching this movie.
I felt the same. I felt satisfied. I think this movie, to sort of, I'm trying not to be negative here right now, but I think this movie sums up the problem with Rotten Tomatoes in terms of, what was it? You said it was about 100% in this movie?
I think it was like 97. Right.
So going into this movie, when you hear that, you think, oh, this must be on the same tier as like The Godfather or Star Wars or whatever. It's not. The reason why it's got 97 is because, like we said, this is a hard movie not to hate. So the good reviews stack up, but they're not like A star reviews. They're positive reviews. And so they all stack up into the positive area. And then this becomes like a high ranking movie. So you can go into this movie. That's why sometimes you've got to divorce yourself from the rating system, because that can spoil a movie. So going into this movie, I tried to forget all of that and just focus on what I was watching.
Yeah, I did the same. I tried to put it to one side. Obviously, the reason I picked it was because of that. But I was just so intrigued as to seeing why it was so highly rated. But I can see it, but in terms of its own genre, I know you don't want to compare it to like The Godfather and movies like that, but in terms of its own genre, it's up there, isn't it? In terms of live action animations, I mean, that's a hard one to get right as well. A live action animation, because the way the human actors interact with the animated character is difficult. There aren't many movies that can pull that off either. In a believable way. Even like Space Jam, as great as it was, there were moments where it felt separate. It didn't feel like the animated characters were in the same room. But this one really did feel like there was a bit of a connection between the animated character and the live action humans.
Yeah, I put this more with the fish out of water stories. For example, like Splash and Bean. Actually, funny enough, I thought a lot about Bean watching this movie. There was a lot of like running similarities there with this character that is just put onto a family that don't really want him there. And apart from obviously some of them want him there. And he's a klutz and he doesn't understand the etiquette very well. In fact, he's kind of this weird etiquette that is, I always think of it as like the assumption of what British people are like, and then Paddington finds out the reality of what British people are like. But this story, weirdly enough, coming into it, I realized that this story is about immigration. This story is about an immigrant coming to the UK. And yeah, there's something warm about him being accepted, because obviously with the whole... We don't want to go politically here, but obviously with the whole Brexit thing, whatever side of the argument you stand on, it's divided opinions of foreigners that the UK is an unwelcoming place. And this movie is very warm in saying, no, we are a welcoming country. We welcome people from all sorts of backgrounds. And that is kind of what Paddington represents.
Yeah, I have to agree. Especially the way it was sort of coined in by the auntie was that everyone in London is lovely. Everyone in London is so welcoming. You know, if you have this around your neck, someone will take you into the home. And it's kind of like the way London's changed since those times, where the depiction of London in Paddington at the start, when everyone's just walking past him and no one gives a shit about what he's saying, is extremely accurate. And that is pretty much what London is like, isn't it? Like no one gives a fuck about you. They're all about
in sums. I think if there was a bear on Paddington Station, I think people would give a shit. I would give a shit. I don't think it doesn't matter if you're a busybody or not. What I'm surprised about, and you have to take into consideration of the movie and its own world, is how accepting they are that there's a talking bear. People don't seem to bat an eyelid about that.
See, the reason why I thought that was because of the explorer that went and discovered these bears and then reported it all back. So I was under the assumption that we were living in this is set in a universe where, because, I don't know, 50, 60, however many years ago it was, an explorer discovered these talking bears and brought the research back, that everyone was just familiar with it and that it wasn't a big deal. But as we later find out, that this information was just wiped clean. So yeah, that is a flaw of this movie. That the fact that no one reacts to the fact that it's a talking bear.
No.
It's ridiculous.
It's weird, isn't it? It's completely weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's a family movie. The only thing you could say is it's a family movie. Just deal with it. And to be honest, apart from the beginning where you question it, you get over it pretty quickly, because the charm of the movie wins you over in the end.
Yeah,
but at the start, you're like, it doesn't make any sense why these people are just brushing past a bear in a hat. A bear with a hat on I would immediately go, that's a bear with a... You would like just dismiss a talking bear with a hat. Even if the bear didn't talk, even if the bear didn't even have a hat, you would still think, there's a bear on Paddington Station.
Yeah, you would. I mean, there's no way you could ignore that. I mean, what time did he turn up on? If he turned up on a Friday night at like 8 p.m. or something, he's definitely going to get some people around him, because, you know, London on booze is very different to London at 3 p.m. or 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. Do you know what I mean? two very different places. So, yeah, we're just going to assume that he turned up at like 5 p.m. on a Wednesday evening or something. And that's why everyone was just like, get out of my way, you stupid bear. But that's a flaw. That's why it's not 100%. That's why the second one's rated higher, because you don't think about that in the second
one. They get rid of that. They say, oh, the reason why they accepted the bear was
because of the first movie. He's been there now. No one gives a shit.
Apparently there's a third as well. I have heard there is a third.
There is, and Paul King is not doing that movie, is he? He's stepped away, which I think is a good call.
Scary.
It's a good call.
You want to finish the trilogy?
You do, but if you're onto bigger and better things like Wonka, then why would you hang around?
It could be argued, is Paddington better? Is Wonka better? I don't know.
It's hard to compare, isn't it? I mean, Wonka's probably not going to be perceived as well because it's a remake. And it's not going to be a family movie. It's going to have a bigger expectation.
It'll be a family movie.
It won't be as family oriented as Paddington.
It depends. I mean, it's one saving grace is it doesn't have to follow Gene Wilder's Wonka. It has to follow Johnny Depp's Wonka. So yeah. It has less of shoes to fill.
I'm not convinced by Timothy Chalamet. I'm not 100% on board.
Dude's in everything at the moment.
I mean, that's probably why I'm not 100% on board of it. Like, I've got nothing against the guy, but I don't know. I've not seen him in anything where I've liked it.
Then you haven't seen enough good movies. I haven't seen Dune.
He was in Dune, wasn't he?
Have you seen Call Me By Your Name?
No.
Have you seen Lady Bird?
I have seen Lady Bird. I didn't really pick him out.
He was
in that movie.
Small role. But he was really good in Call Me By Your Name. Interstellar, he was in that as well, but it was a very small role, so we can't really like.
Yeah, this is a massive change. He's now the guy in Wonka. He is Wonka.
He's Wonka.
It's the biggest role you can have. That's a big role for a 25-year-old to take on, you know.
I forget he's 25. He looks 18.
I mean, the movie focuses on a young Willy Wonka, but that's still a big role. Considering that he is the main guy and he's gonna have a lot of big actors around him, like Rowan Atkinson, Olivia Colman. You know, these are massive actors and actresses. And then you got Matt Lucas, who seems to appear in everything that Paul King does. He must have some dirt on him or something. He's got some dirt on him, I reckon.
I have to say, that's the one thing about this movie I've noticed. Is it not classed as a British movie unless Julia Walters or Jim Broadbent are in the movie? Because either one of them has to be in the movie. And then this one, you get both of them.
You had both. And then you also had Matt Lucas, who's also very much... Yeah. But he's like the token British guy that the American audience is drafting, don't they? Or James Corden.
I think Jim Broadbent and Julia Walters are the token British people. It's not a British movie unless you've got them two in it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I can't think of a popular British movie that doesn't have them in it. They're in all of them. It's insane how busy their agents are.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive. But I tell you what was impressive as well, I was getting Nicole Kidman in this movie. Luckily, she's a massive Paddington fan.
She said yes straight away.
It's funny because her agent said it to her in a passing comment, expecting her to turn it down. And she was like, oh my God, yeah, I'm doing it. And he's like, what, really?
Yes, there's some bear movie out there that they want you to do. Was it like Yogi Bear? No, Paddington or something. Paddington? Yeah, Paddington. Oh, yeah, I'll do Paddington.
The one that eats the jam, you know? The marmalade? Yeah. That's it, marmalade.
You know, had the Marmite sandwiches and all of that stuff. I have to be honest, this movie made me feel very un-British. Because of reading all the backstory about how people were like so obsessed with this, like Hugh Bonneville saying, oh, he was so like nervous that this is going to be a bad movie. And even Nicole Kidman, she's not even British. They're just talking about Paddington so well and marmalade sandwiches. I've never liked marmalade. I never liked it. When we used to have it in the house as a kid, marmalade was like, oh, we've run out of strawberry jam, have we? That's what that indicated to me. We've run out of strawberry jam. We've only got marmalade left. Fuck. The only person I ever remember eating marmalade was Dad. That's it.
Hey, maybe and he was Paddington Bear.
There was fucking loads of marmalade. That marmalade jar never seemed to like decrease because he was the only one that ate it. And I feel like
I had it from time to time. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind marmalade.
It was a scapegoat sandwich, though. It felt like I need to add something to this bread. I will put marmalade on it. It was second choice. That was the problem with marmalade. But for me, I feel like, I felt less British. I started to think about, like, what do I have in my house that makes me feel British? Because I think we all have, like, a British starter kit of things that we don't necessarily use, but we have them in there just in case. Like, I have Worcester sauce and tea bags. Like, that's my emergency kit as a British person. Now, anyone who comes around, you're safe with them two items.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think what I have now. Tea bags, yeah, but I like tea, so does that count? Coffee. I like coffee as well.
But do you provide more tea just in case you have an emergency guest that needs tea? I need tea. It's like, don't worry, I've got plenty of tea bags for you.
There's something about giving away tea and giving away coffee that's very different. Like, giving away coffee is like giving someone your bed, you know what I mean? And then giving tea is like giving someone the sofa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you sit easily with the sofa.
It's like, have you got any? It's like, basically, have you got any sugar to your neighbor? That's tea bags.
Yeah. Coffee seems more precious, doesn't it?
But don't say, I'll tea bag your neighbor, because that sounds completely wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend opening with that anyway, at least. Yeah. I don't know. Did I feel less British watching this? No, that never crossed my mind, I'll be honest. I didn't feel less British watching this. But this is a very British movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Considering I went to... Obviously, you live in London. But I went to London in October recently. So I felt more of a time capsule. Even though this is 2014, this movie, I felt more of a time capsule. For example, when they went to Portobello. I went to Portobello last month. So when they went to Portobello, I was like, oh, yeah, I know this place. And like, yeah, this... It all just felt like it was so fresh in my mind that it actually made the experience better. The only movie... I mean, there's not really... I don't think there's a movie in Ipswich, but the only movie that makes me feel how Paddington made me feel... is Before Sunset, because Before Sunset was filmed in 2004 in Paris. We went to Paris in 2005, so it all feels fresh. It's like going into a time capsule, and Paddington did that for me, especially in the Portobello scene. I felt like, oh, this feels so fresh.
I know what you mean. I haven't been to Portobello in about a year and a half, so you've actually been there more times than me, and it's closer to me, but just haven't had a reason to go there. But lad, I know what you mean, but I just seeing like the underground signs, whenever I see an underground sign, like a tube sign in a movie, I'm always like, ah, the tube, you know, because it's like a part of like everyday life over here, so it's kind of just gives me a little bit of a warm feeling. But when I'm there in person, I'm like, get me the fuck out of here immediately. But,
this bear.
He didn't wear a mask either. But Jesus, he complained. He wrote in for this one.
But, put a hat in his face. Get out of here, bear.
I did find out one interesting fact that I honestly didn't, when I was looking into the background of this movie and a few bit of the trivia and here, there, and there, I didn't expect to come across this one. And this one was surprising, but very interesting, was that Jeremy Clarkson owned the first produced Paddington Bear toy, because it was created by Shirley Clarkson, his mother, at their company, Gabrielle Designs, which was the first Paddington license to create official Paddington toys. That is mental. Yeah. What a weird connection. Jeremy Clarkson owns one of the first Paddington Bear toys. That is weird. That's a weird fact that I found quite interesting. But
I always imagine him a bit like Mr. Burns with Bobo the Bear. Like, he doesn't really like the bear, but he needs to have the bear in his life.
Bobo the Bear. There you go. We got our Simpson reference in.
There you go. It went in there.
We had to get one in there. We should talk about Michael Bond as well, the author of the books. Who got to see the movie? He died in 2017. I don't know when did the sequel come out for
2017, but I don't know if it came out before or after he passed away.
Let's have a look. So it came out on the 5th of November, and he passed away in June. So he wouldn't have seen this movie. He wouldn't have seen the second movie. But I mean, this man, fair play. He wrote a lot of Paddington books, didn't he? He wrote a lot, and it started in 1958, and the last book he wrote was in 2018. That is a magnificent.
That's a lot.
And I like what inspired it as well. He was at Paddington Station and he saw a toy bear that looked lonely in a shop, and that's what inspired him to write the book. Sometimes it is just like little things that you see, and you're just like, just gives you a big wave of inspiration for something, doesn't it? But I found that quite interesting. There's something also, like, especially with these old books that were written in like the 50s and stuff, there's still some magic attached to it, isn't there?
It does feel very magical. Yeah. Mm. It does take you to a different place. And all the cameos in this movie are just fantastic. There's so many, I wouldn't say famous actors, because there's like Alice Lowe, who I'm a big fan of. She's in this, and Steve Ovram. They're not big actors. Or even Kaya Novak, who obviously is the phone jack. He's not a big actor, but we know when you see his face, you know who he is. There's so many of them in this movie that it's a bit like, oh, look, it's him. Oh, look, it's her. And that's kind of nice when you have that.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. It's very nice. He was in it as well, wasn't he? The author. He had a cameo.
Hmm. I don't know who he played, though. I can't remember. I've never seen his face that well, so I wouldn't be able to like pinpoint him straight away.
He played, do you remember, it's at the beginning of the movie, he raises a glass to Paddington as he walks past. He's sitting at a table with a little glass of wine, and he raises it in the air. Or it might have been when they were in the car. Maybe they were in the car, but they go past him and he raises a glass. That was him. And that's his cameo. That's all he does. But I didn't know
if he was the dog owner. I wondered if he was the dog owner, which is a great scene. The fact that he just, like, Paddington is going to go on the escalator, and he just looks at the sign and said, dogs must be carried. And he goes, ah. And he just randomly gets a dog and takes it down the escalator. I thought that was brilliant. I was thinking, where the hell did he get that dog from?
That was good, to be fair. That was good. And then it was the same people who he bumps into on the bus later, doesn't he? And he's holding the leash, and he's riding down the bus, and he catches the guy who dropped his wallet. That's another good cameo. The guy is in Peep Show.
He's in everything. You see him so many times. You go, oh, Super Hands. But I don't know his name apart from Super Hands.
Every time I see him, I go, oh, Mary Spliffmas. That's the first thing I think of when I see him. I love that guy. That is one of my favorite characters in the TV series.
Great character. Fucking
fantastic. Right, let's put this into a rating box. Where are you going to rate it?
It's good. I think, like I said, you'd have to be a cold-hearted cynic not to enjoy this movie. I think it's charming. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of this movie, it gives you good vibes. This is a good, like I said to you, I was surprised. I thought this was a Christmas movie. And actually, going away with it, I did think this is the kind of movie I'd watch around Christmas, because it just puts you in a good, positive emotion. So, yeah, it's in the good category.
I agree. I think it's in the good category. Do you know where the movie sits for me? It sits in that, and there isn't a name for this, but you know that period between Christmas and New Year, those days in between. What the fuck Nismas? Do you call them days?
Nismas?
But you don't watch Christmas movies in those days, because Christmas is over.
Oh, the 12 days of Christmas, basically, isn't it?
Is it 12 days of Christmas?
Well, Christmas is the 12 days of Christmas, isn't it?
But that's still not an official name, because I wouldn't go 12. I'd go like Boxing Day, 27th, 28th, 29th, and then 30th, and that would be it. It'd be those 5 days, because then the 31st is New Year's Eve, and then the 1st is New Year, and then there's another different kind of movies that you watch in New Year, like.
But Bugsy, that's what they call Bugsy it, like Malone, the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, but there's just that bit in between where you don't know what day of the week it is, and you're just eating fucking leftovers and you just don't really know what to do with yourself, so you just put on a random movie, and it always has to be like a certain type of movie.
I'd say this falls into that, like, I'd call it, I think it's family movies. I think that's because I put this in the same bracket as like Toy Story, where Toy Story isn't really a Christmas movie, but you watch it around Christmas.
Like Harry Potter. Harry Potter's not a Christmas movie, but you...
Or Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird time. Right? There needs to be a name.
Or Star Wars.
It's like, I call it like Christmas limbo is what I call it, because you don't really know what you, especially when you're a kid, you build up from November to December 25th. And then once it's over, you're like, now what?
Yeah. What am I going to do?
What do I do now?
I play with my toys. They all suck.
They all suck. Yeah, I fucking wrote this list and it all suck. I put it in good as well. It goes straight in good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. The only other thing I want to add quickly, because I nearly missed it out, was the stuffed animal heads. That scene where they open the door and the stuffed animal heads have got their bodies on the other side of the wall.
Brilliant. That's good.
That was brilliant. I never noticed that the first time I saw it, but this time I was like, clever.
Classic joke.
And so underplayed. To me, that's such a British joke for me, because it's so underplayed. It's just like a visual reference that you could easily miss.
Very Naked Gun. You'd imagine that Naked Gun, wouldn't you? Which is
I imagine off like It Crowd or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Mighty Boosh, funny enough.
I always think Naked Gun because Naked Gun, they have jokes in the background of a scene, which are so clever, but they don't really draw attention to it. But you just see it and you love it. But yeah, I love Naked Gun. What a movie. Right. We move on to part two of this podcast, which is I didn't want to do a top five. I thought about doing something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been preparation to this. This isn't just a last minute thing. I didn't just think, oh fuck.
Well, for you. I have no preparation in what's going on right now.
But this is where the fun bit begins for me, because I've done the preparation and now it's the fun part. Because I mean, in the month of October, we did a lot of quizzes, a lot of Halloween quizzes, and the person having to answer the questions was me, and I was thinking, well, that's not really fair, is it? So
it is fair.
Uno reverse.
Shit,
I am the quiz master.
And these aren't about marmalade, are they?
They aren't about marmalade. No, but the theme is there. I've designed a quiz, and the quiz is based on one of my favorite quiz shows, Never Mind the Buzzcocks, but I couldn't call it Never Mind the Buzzcocks. I had to give it a twist. I had to give it a movie twist. So I've renamed it to Never Mind the Hitchcocks.
Mm.
There you go. That's my movie twist. And the theme has to be aligned with Paddington. So the theme is our childhood. That is the theme. So things that me and you know. Now, I know them. So you must know them, because there's only 2 years difference, and we pretty much grew up watching the same TV shows and reading the same books. So, and a few of these rounds are based on Nevermind the Buzzcocks, and a few have just made up. So we'll begin with question one. Question one, we start simple. Question one is just a multiple choice.
That's what you say.
Yeah, we start simple, okay? So did you ever read the book The Twits? Roald Dahl's The Twits?
Yeah, I remember reading it. Yeah, I remember owning that.
Good. So question one. In Roald Dahl's The Twits, which of these is not a prank from the book? All right. So Mr. and Mrs. Twits, as they did, play pranks on each other. And you have to name which one of these isn't one of the pranks. So is
this
A?
This is the easy one.
This is the first one. This is the easy. Right. But I'm not going to say it's easy. This is just the first one. A, the sticky tree. Mr. Twit uses this to trap birds by spreading sticky glue on the branches. Is it B, the wormy spaghetti? Mrs. Twit places worms from the garden in cooked spaghetti for Mr. Twit. Or is it C, the rat? Mr. Twit places a rat inside Mrs. Twit's bed.
I think the wormy spaghetti is something they did, if I can remember right. So I'm trying to think, with the three of them, which two seem the most common to each other. And the two that seem the most common are the bird and the worm. So I'm going to guess the rat is not the joke.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it feels a bit harsh. The other two feel quite light and the rat feels a bit harsh.
You are correct.
Okay, cool.
I was actually, so the first two were obviously correct. Now, the third one was just a twist because actually it was a frog that Mr. Twit put in Mrs. Twit's bed.
So, yeah, the rat feels a bit like, well, that's a bit like step too far, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, she put a frog in there. Number two, this is the lineup round. All right. So we all know the book, The Tiger Who Came to Tea. Now, they adapted this book and they made it into a television one-off special. But I want you to tell me from this lineup, who was the narrator of the story? Was it A, James Corden? Was it B, David Walliams? Was it C, Matt Lucas? Or was it D, Noel Fielding?
What year did it come out?
Let me have a quick check because it wasn't that long ago. I think it was 2019. Tiger Who Came to Tea. It might have even been last year, actually. Let's have a look. Was when this came out. I think we actually watched it at Christmas. We did.
Okay, I don't remember watching this. What channel?
Oh, I think it was Sky.
Okay.
No, it's Channel 4. Sorry, Channel 4.
Channel 4, okay. Well, so it's either Corden, Walliams, Lucas, or Fielding.
Correct.
I don't believe it'd be Fielding. Is the first one that sounds a bit offish because I don't think he's got a narration voice. I also don't think it'd be Lucas, so I have gone down to Corden and Walliams right now. And it's hard because, one, Corden seems to be in everything, so I could imagine he might have been in it, but Walliams feels like the better narrator. So I have to go with, is it the man who'd be in everything or the man who's a better narrator? And I'm going to go with Walliams.
That's 2 out of 2. Well done. That is correct. Oh, good. Yes. Well done. Good. He's also he's written a series of children's books as well, hasn't he? So
that was another reason I thought it might be him, yeah.
All right, this round, I need a second of prep for this round. This is you've seen Nevermind the Buzzcocks, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the round where you need to guess the theme song of the famous kids TV show, and I'm going to perform it for you. I'm going to perform this theme song. So I'm just going to mute myself for a second just to listen to number one so I can get to grips with the...
I hope he doesn't mute it so I can overhear it.
I'm muting it.
I see a lot of head movement right now. It's almost scary. It feels very upbeat. It must be quite an upbeat song. And a long song as well, because we're still on mute.
Okay, number one.
Number one?
I think I nailed that personally, so I'll be interested to hear what you think.
Oh, I've got it. Chuckle Vision.
Correct. You got it. That was it. Yes. Well done. Fair play. All right, number two. I think this one's more difficult. Let me prep for it as well.
Back to the mute box. Scary how quiet we are right now. Can almost hear a pin drop.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. X-Men.
Fuck. Nailed it. I did.
I love that show.
There you go. Yeah. Nailed it. Fair play. You're doing very well here. All right, let me meet you again for number three.
I really didn't think I'd be this far ahead. Especially the twits. As soon as you brought out the twits, I was like, fuck. I don't remember anything about the twits. There's a piano in this one because his hands are moving in a piano-like nature. Or is this a way to deviate from what it could be? It could be a guitar. And he's playing the piano in a way to confuse me because he's actually using the guitar right now. It's hard to fill dead air. It really is hard to fill dead
air. Okay, well, luckily I'm back. Okay, number okay, good. Three.
Goosebumps.
Fuck.
It was a that's when I got it.
Damn it. I'm trying to do more background noise so you don't get the main theme straight away. Alright, it gets more difficult. Number four.
How many fucking is there?
There's five. I'm gonna mute myself again. Hold on.
Right, okay. I watched a lot of Nevermind the Buzzcocks. And I was terrible at guessing the songs. But here, I'm feeling confident. Let's see what number four brings. It's weird seeing someone muted beating their head to music. Because, I'll be honest, that last one, when he was playing the piano, didn't feel like goosebumps at all.
Okay, here we go. This is funky. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Struggling on this one.
I know that song. What the hell is it from?
You tell me.
Do it again. Is it animated?
It is.
Is it dubbed?
Correct.
Yes!
I should have done that. Here's how it should have sounded. I didn't do that for any of the others, but that would have been good. I'll do that for this one. I'll do here's how it should have sounded for this one.
Okay.
Because I think I nailed this.
Do you remember we watched the movie of this?
What a show. I don't remember the movie.
I remember watching the movie, Doug's first movie. I remember we watched it in the cinema. I think it had like a dinosaur or something like that.
It's weird because it's probably the most normal cartoon that we watched when we were younger. Like, it was like a coming-of-age cartoon.
I need to see it again because I actually don't ever remember liking it.
It's because it was probably, compare it to the rest of the things we watched at that time, it was probably a bit...
We watched a lot of like, the monsters and like the cramped twins and all that shit. Mm. This felt a bit like,
Yeah, but it was clever.
That was a hard one. That was a good one.
All right, number five, the final one. I'm going to meet you again.
Yeah. I was almost scared I missed number four. This is like my inner monologue towards you people. I almost felt that four... was losing my grip, but I clawed it back. I clawed it back. Now, number five, who knows? It could be a really hard one. You never know. They are getting harder. They do feel harder. And I'm hoping I can get there, but we will see. These all feel Nickelodeon as well. No, actually, I can't remember what Chucklevision was on. I actually was on Disney, wasn't it, as well? So, yeah. I think it's still on Disney, actually. I think you can vote on Disney.
We're ready.
Okay. Fuck it out. Do that one again.
Okay. Do
I'm gonna have to need a little bit of help here. Give me a clue. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what that is.
There's no clues in this round. I can't give you a clue.
Animated or live? At least give me that.
Animated.
Not even channel? You can't tell me what channel it might have been on?
Can't remember what channel it was on, but it was one of the biggest. It was a big, big show.
Can you browse and check what channel it was on? Give me a clue on the channel, at least. It's not going to narrow it down that much, but it might put me in the ballpark.
Let's have a look. So,
is it Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon? That's what I want to know.
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon. And do the sound again.
Well, it says Nickelodeon in the US. So what was it in the UK? I assume it must have been the same.
Yeah, it must have been the same.
Okay, I'll do the song one more time.
Okay. I'm trying to think of Nickelodeon animations now. So I don't think it's the Monsters because that sounds too upbeat. It's not the Animaniacs because that's We Are the Animaniacs. It's not Pinky and the Brain because that's Pinky and the Brain. It's not Recess. I don't think Three Friends and Jerry was on Nickelodeon. There's only two that I can't remember their theme tunes, but I'm leaning towards Rocco's Modern World and Red and Stimpy. They're the two that I'm leaning towards. I can't remember their thingies. I'm going to go with, it's a stab in the dark here. I'm going to go with Rocco's Modern World.
First one you got wrong of the evening. It was actually, and I will play it for you.
Okay.
It was a very famous Hey Arnold, and this is how it should have sounded.
Oh, yeah. That's because you didn't say, Hey Arnold, I would have got there. Get out of my way, football head. If you said that, I would have been like, yeah, it's Hey Arnold.
Yeah, I can't speak. I have to just hear the voices. But that was impressive. You got 4 out of 5. So very, very impressive. Very impressive, actually. We've got 2 more rounds left. Okay. This is the quick fire catchphrase round. So similar to the round of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, where I say the first line and you finish the lyric. This is I say the first line of the catchphrase and you finish the catchphrase. And there isn't many. So first one. I am the vengeance. I am the knight. I am
Batman.
Correct.
Okay.
This is one word. So you have to get the second bit. Suffering.
Suffering.
Suffering. That's your clue. Me doing a lisp. Suffering.
It's Daffy Duck. Suffering Willikers.
No. Suffering Succotash is Sylvester from Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah. Suffering Succotash, yeah.
The same thing we do every night, Pinky.
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. We do science?
No. Try to take over the world. The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. What does that
do? Oh, what does that red button do?
I'll give you that. It was, what does that button do? DD from Dexter's Laboratory.
It was always a red button, though.
And the final one. Ah.
Monsters?
No. They have one more go.
Oh, here it goes.
There you go. Keenan and Kel. There you go. So you got one.
I couldn't do it too much.
It was too obvious.
One. Yeah, but that's not the catchphrase.
You got two out of five in that one. Wasn't your strongest round.
That was a hard one. I mean, the pinky in the brain. I can't remember the pinky in the brain catchphrase.
I thought that would be the easiest one, I'll be honest.
No, I don't remember a lot about it.
Okay, now
I just remember he did this voice. Pinky. He kind of did like an awesome Welsh sort of voice. Yeah,
it was a clever show. Okay, the final one. And this is potentially my favorite round. And this is called, this is the a round I've invented, but it does exist in other forms or whatever. Poorly described TV show. So I'm going to describe to you. I'm going to poorly
describe.
I've
got news for you or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to poorly describe to you the premise of a TV show, and you're going to tell me what it is. These are all kids' shows that we watched when we were younger. Most of them, all of them are animation. Let's just say that. So the first one, two bad parents who endanger their young family on a daily basis whilst owning an illegal pet.
Two bad parents who endanger their family whilst owning an on a daily basis, which whilst owning an illegal pet.
Mm-hmm.
Does that narrow it down? Two bad parents. So the parents are the main characters, are they?
Not necessarily. The whole family is the main characters, but
the whole family. But the pet is like the most main one out of all of them.
No, not necessarily. No.
Not necessarily, okay. Two bad parents endangering their family with an illegal pet.
Yeah.
So it's not a dog, can't be a cat, it's something like that you'd be like, what the fuck? Is it the Wild Thornberrys?
That's absolutely correct. It is the Wild Thornberrys.
No, that's a good guess. That was came to me straight away.
It's a phenomenal guess. All right, the next one. Conjoined brothers who absolutely despise each other and have no physical ability to be able to take a shit.
Cat dog.
Correct.
Yes. Cat dog. All that was the easiest one. Cat dog.
That was the easiest one. Okay.
That's the one that Dad still does the theme for. Cat dog. All in the world, a little cat dog.
It's because we used to watch it all the time.
Watch it that much, but yeah.
I watched it quite a lot.
He remembers that one a lot.
I watched it, to be fair, quite. It was on really early in the morning, that's why. Okay.
Again, it was like a weird one, like cow and chicken. It's like they eat human butts. What the fuck's going on in this world?
All right, the next one. Two stupid friends embark on wild adventures which are triggered by a chihuahua that is baked 24/7 and they encounter reoccurring characters who are just a result of a never-ending acid trip.
It feels like an acid trip. Two friends that bake a chihuahua?
No. Two stupid friends embark on wild adventures which are triggered by a chihuahua that is baked 24/7 and they encounter reoccurring characters who are just a result of a never-ending acid trip.
Two idiotic friends who embark on a trip that is because of a stone dog, are you saying, basically?
The stone dog is one of the friends.
The stone dog is a friend.
Yep.
And he's the reason that they get into trouble?
Partially. Two stupid friends embark on wild adventures which are triggered by the Chihuahua that is baked 24/7 and they encounter reoccurring characters who are just a result of a never-ending acid trip.
This is a hard one. Mm-hmm. The Chihuahua. The Chihuahua.
Is that throwing you off, the Chihuahua?
The Chihuahua is, because I'm trying to think of a show which had a Chihuahua in it. There was a lot of dog shows. Scooby-Doo. There was the Cowardly Dog one. I can't remember what the hell he was called there. The Chihuahua. Two friends. Chihuahua. A list of recurring characters. This is a pickle. This one is hard. This one is definitely hard. Do you know what channel it was on?
Cartoon Network, I think.
Cartoon Network. Chihuahua. Two friends. Recurring characters. I'm just drawing a blank. I can't think of... It's the Chihuahua. It is the Chihuahua. The Chihuahua is... It's bamboozled me. I have to be honest. I'm going to have to throw the white flag up. I don't think I'm going to get this one.
I'm surprised you didn't get it. We mentioned it earlier. The Ren and Stimpy show. Ren was a Chihuahua.
He was a Chihuahua?
Yeah, Ren was a Chihuahua.
Oh, right. So it's because you said there's two friends, so I was thinking of two friends and a Chihuahua.
No. I said he was one of the friends. I did.
Oh, right.
And Stimpy,
I probably wouldn't
have
got it anyway, because I couldn't remember he was a Chihuahua.
Stimpy is a cat as well. Stimpy's a Manx cat.
You labre, you imbecile.
but doesn't he look high all the time?
That was a weird, creepy movie, creepy TV show when you think about it.
It was so creepy.
A lot of them were.
He looks stoned all the time. That's why I thought that. Yeah, that was the best way to describe it.
That bamboozled me there. It's because I thought of a Chihuahua as not a main character, so that even more threw me off the scent there. So cleverly reworded there. Cleverly.
Well, they get weirder. They get weirder. So the next one.
Okay.
Okay. Motherless kindergartners are forced to fight off child murderers and perverts whilst getting away with countless casualties themselves and dealing with an addiction problem.
Okay, say it again.
Okay, motherless kindergartners are forced to fight off child murderers and perverts whilst getting away with countless casualties themselves and dealing with an addiction problem.
Powerpuff Girls?
Correct. Let's talk about Powerpuff Girls before we...
I love the Powerpuff Girls.
This show was fucked up. This show was...
Are you talking about like Mojo Jojo and the devil one?
They beat the shit out of Mojo Jojo.
Him was the... I mean, that was like a... Was that like a transgendered character? The devil one?
I don't even know. It was just a bit out there. I mean, they were kindergartners.
Yeah. Right?
Do you remember the episode where they... there was an episode where they...
Made with spice and everything nice, yes.
Do you remember the episode where they created another sister? Bunny? They created another sister called Bunny to lighten the load on themselves so they could have a little bit of extra help, and then they killed her off.
It's a weird show.
There was a lot of murder in this. There was the one... Do you remember this? I always remember this one. Do you remember the one with the episode with the Sandman? They killed off the Sandman by giving him a nightmare so awful he refused to ever sleep again.
It does seem dark. What were they smoking when they made some of them TV shows? Very weird.
There's a pedo one as well. Remember Ace, the leader of the gang, the Gangrene Gang. He tricked Buttercup into thinking that he likes her so he can fulfill his own agenda. That's pedo-y.
It is very dark. Very dark and sinister, a lot of them shows. Powerpuff Girls was very dark. I didn't think it was that dark when I used to watch it as a kid. I watched it and sort of thought, oh, this is a girly show because they were girls in it. And I didn't want people to know I watched it. But now I go back to it. It's like, no, that was just a fucking dark show.
It was very, very dark. It was very, very dark. It was weird. But
and yeah. I always wanted to be Blossom. I don't know why. Blossom was the awesome one.
Was that the green one?
It was the red one, wasn't it? Oh, no, it might have been the green one.
Yeah, she was the moody one. She was the bit of attitude.
Red one?
Can't remember her name.
Buttercup, Blossom, but I thought the green one was
the blonde. Was the blonde one? I think was the blue one.
Right.
Can't remember the other one.
No.
Can't remember the other one. Anyway, final one and final one of the quiz itself. Here we go. Human parents with suspicious bestiality tendencies convince two separate species they are related to each other.
Cow and chicken.
Yeah. Let me finish at least.
Okay.
Human parents with suspicious bestiality tendencies convince two separate species they are related to each other and spawns of their own seed, and they leave them to fight off a flamboyant homoerotic version of the devil trying to drag them down to hell.
And they eat butts. They eat like pig butts or human butts. It's fucking weird, that show.
I'm so annoyed you mentioned it earlier as well, because when I was doing research for this, I came across this show. I forgot about it, and then I looked back in it. I was like, "Holy fuck! I must have just blocked this out of my memory." They did eat butts. Happy meat is what they called it.
But the parents were only a set of legs. You never saw above the legs.
No, you did. I swear you did.
No, I swear you only saw the legs.
I think you're thinking of. I know you're right. Yeah, you're right. You only did see the legs.
So you never saw anything above the legs.
It was so stupid. What was going on with the show?
So many of these shows were weird. Cramp Twins was weird. Do you remember Cramp Twins with the family that lived in the swamp, the swamp people? And it had his little friend. He was really tiny. And they all lived in the swamp. Or Three Friends and Jerry, which they just shat on Jerry. Yeah. They hated Jerry. Or Ed, and Eddie. I loved Ed and Eddie. With the massive, like, jawbreakers they used to have, which were like boulders. They're crazy, these shows.
Three Friends and Jerry was just literally encouraged bullying, didn't it, in a way? Like, they used to be on at like 5 a.m.
Yeah. They just hated Jerry.
It was only on at that time. I feel like I need to rewatch some of these old shows. We should do a series where we watch a bunch of old fucking shows. Yeah. And just
Cousin Skeeter. We want to watch Cousin Skeeter.
Cousin fucking Skeeter.
So
that
many.
Well. That was stupid.
They were weird. There's so many weird shows we used to watch as a kid. I was surprised. Johnny Bravo. I mean, that just taught you how to objectify women. At an early age, this is how you objectify women. Just follow what Johnny Bravo does. And then just like, yeah.
Hey, baby. It was funny, though. Like, it was funny. Like, the character
just got beat up.
Is funny. You have to look past the
sweet, sassy.
Because he was just stupid. There are people like him that exist. That is the funniest thing.
Because of Johnny Bravo.
It's because of Johnny Bravo. Yeah, probably spawns of his fucking seed. Right. That is the end of Nevermind, the Hitchcocks. And you did fairly sure. well, to be fair. You did sure. very well. You did very well.
Catchphrase one was a bit of a slip-up.
I think that was the hardest one to do. I think the theme song one worked out well. And I think the last one was very, very entertaining. But yes, over to you to tell us what we're doing next week.
Okay. And I'm going to do it in the form of Nevermind the Hitchcocks with the theme song of what we're going to watch next week. Huh.
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you first did the
baby.
When you first did the whore, I thought we were watching Johnny Bravo, the movie or so. But
we're going to watch Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, which is the first, which was made in 1997. This is on Amazon Prime in the UK, if anyone wants to watch it. Or wherever you can find it. The original one did. I think they only made three. What I'm surprised about is there's not a fourth one, because at the moment, nostalgia's in. I'm surprised there's not an Austin Powers movie in the works. There must be, surely. There must be one in the works. Because these were huge movies as a kid, if you remember. And that's the reason I wanted to revisit. And I thought we'd watch the first one, because apart from Goldmember, I don't remember the first two that well. Goldmember, I remember more. Maybe it's because it was the most recent and it was the most quotable, at least for my friends and me. So I want to watch the first one. I want to see how well these hold up, especially in modern times.
Apparently there is a fourth coming.
I'm not surprised.
It's in the works. It's in the works.
Mike Myers?
Apparently Mike Myers is gonna do cool. The role. I mean, after they did Bill and Ted, I mean, they'll do anything. They'll bring back anything after they did that. I firmly believe they'll do anything. But obviously,
well, it's mega bucks, and Austin Powers is still mega bucks. It pulled in a lot of money.
Absolutely, it'll be so big. It'll be so big, regardless, because it is the nostalgia. But yeah, Austin Powers. That's a good movie to do. I've not seen that for a very, very long time. I've almost forgotten what happens. I kind of like merge all of them into one.
I only remember Goldmember. That's the one I remember the most. The other two, I can't remember.
It's directed by Jay Roach. So Jay Roach is actually going to do the fourth one, apparently.
He did all of them, did he?
Yeah, I think he'll do the fourth one if they do it. So, interesting. Interesting. All right.
Jay Roach, who went down the Adam McKay road of doing more award contention movies like Bombshell and Trumbo, he started off doing Austin Powers, just like Adam McKay did the Anchorman movies, and now he's doing Don't Look Up.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Adam McKay, we should definitely review Don't Look Up when it comes out.
I've heard it's great. The early reviews are fantastic for this.
It comes out on Netflix on Christmas Eve, I think. So it could be a nice little Christmas limbo movie to review in that sort of time. But
I like his work, man. He's fantastic. I do as well.
I'm a big fan. As soon as I see his name attached to something, you do get high hopes. You definitely get high hopes. So that would be interesting to do. And yeah, Austin Powers first. Let's go.
Yeah, baby.
Last one of... Is it the last one of... November, it will be the last one until we enter the Christmas period, I believe.
Is it?
I think it must be. Because, it will. This will be the last one.
Yeah, so the 6th will be your one. So you might do a more Christmas-themed one. I don't know.
I will. We'll have to, because it's Christmas. We'll have to do Christmas.
That's what happens. Now,
All right, brilliant. All right, everyone. Take it easy. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.